The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the women came from the tomb on Easter morning, Matthew and Mark report that an angel instructed them to tell the disciples that Jesus had risen and was going before them to Galilee, where they would see him. Knowing this, it's at least a little surprising that, as we heard in today's gospel, some 12 hours later, the disciples were still in Jerusalem, gathered together in a locked room. The walk from Jerusalem to Galilee was about 100 miles. Even if the disciples had left as soon as the women conveyed what the angel had said to them, they wouldn't have completed it in a single day. Yet they could have been well on their way by evening. Yet they hadn't even begun. They were still in Jerusalem. Why? Part of the answer, certainly, is doubt. Luke tells us that when the women shared the news of Jesus' resurrection with the disciples, their words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. That first Easter day, the disciples weren't convinced that what the women had told them was really true. Despite the testimony of the women, despite the Lord having repeatedly told them that he would be killed and on the third day raised, despite the fact that the tomb was empty, his body was not there, the disciples hadn't yet believed that Jesus was alive.
Why travel up to Galilee to meet a man who was dead? It was a fact that the body was missing. That much was certain. But why? What it meant? As far as they were concerned, that was yet to be determined. They were filled with uncertainty and doubt. Besides this, the disciples may well have been uncertain whether they really wanted to meet Jesus. For most of them, what they had done the last time they had seen him was something they would prefer to have forgotten. They hadn't behaved well. Thursday evening, on the way out to Gethsemane, they had all promised that they would not fall away, that even if they had to die with Jesus, they would never deny him. And then they had. When the crowd came to arrest him, they hadn't stood by him. They had fled in fear. When it came down to it, none of them had been willing to die with him. Only John, it seems, had been there at the cross. Jesus had been their teacher, their rabbi. They had sworn to be loyal to him, and they had left him to be taken and beaten and killed. We can understand how they might have been fearful of meeting the Lord. Have you ever committed to not give in to that certain sin again? To not be unfaithful to your Savior in that way? And then all too quickly to have utterly failed? Terrible guilt follows. How could I have done this, you ask? How can I ever face the Lord? What will he say? That first Easter, still mourning the execution of their beloved teacher, the disciples may well have judged this was the worst possible thing they could ever have done. They had heard Jesus forgive sinners, but they had also heard him utter condemnation. And they knew which of these responses they deserved. The 11 hadn't believed. They hadn't started for Galilee. Perhaps they even feared seeing the Lord. But as they huddled together there in a locked room, fearful and seemingly without hope, he appears in their midst. And what does he say? Peace. Peace be with you. The first words they hear from Jesus are, peace be with you. And then he shows them his hands and his side. Lets them see his wounds so that they may know it is truly him there with them in the flesh, alive again. And then he repeats those wonderful words, peace be with you. And though they had so recently proven themselves weak and undependable, he commissions them again as his apostles, men he is sending as his own representatives to continue and extend his work. Peace be with you. With these words, Jesus forgives his disciples. Notice that he didn't wait for their obedience before he came to them. When they didn't go where he had told them he would meet them, he came to where they were. Because they didn't believe that he was truly alive, he revealed himself to them and submitted his crucified and now risen body for their inspection. He didn't reprimand them for leaving him. but knowing their guilt and sorrow, spoke to them graciously, by word and by action. He assured them that he didn't disown them because of their failures, that he was still willing to claim them as his followers, that he was still willing to have them, weak and prone to fail though they had shown themselves to be, was still willing to have them as his ambassadors to the world. He forgave them, and he gave them his Spirit, and along with the Spirit, authority to give to others what they had received from him. You remember how the Pharisees had questioned Jesus when he claimed authority to forgive. They noted, rightly, that only God can forgive those who have sinned against him. But now Jesus, the risen and glorified Son of God, authorizes his forgiven apostles to forgive sinners in his name. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven, he says. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. That's why when a pastor declares, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you can believe that this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, your dear Lord, dealt with you himself. That's because through his servants, Jesus is dealing with you. What St. John records concerning that first Easter evening confirms the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. But it does much more than that. It shows yet again his mercy in not treating sinners as they deserve, and his grace in rehabilitating those who have failed him, forgiving them and entrusting them again with the ministry of reconciliation. By his innocent death and victorious resurrection, Jesus put an end to the power of sin in the grave and conquered Satan. But he didn't stop with that. When he had risen, he returned to his disciples to deliver them from doubt and despair and to apply the fruits of his victory to their lives. He blessed them with peace to banish their fear and comfort their troubled hearts. And he commissioned them to carry this precious treasure of forgiveness also to others. The book of Acts and the New Testament epistles record the beginning of this work. It's work which has continued on through the centuries, so that now you and I too have become beneficiaries of the ministry of forgiveness in Jesus' name. To a large degree, what John records concerning Thomas repeats and reinforces the message of the first verses of today's text. Pity Thomas, absent when Jesus first appeared among his disciples, continuing in doubt for the whole week. Not having believed, he doesn't know the peace of forgiveness and restoration the other disciples have experienced. But then Jesus comes again, clearly, specially for Thomas. Again, his first word is peace. Then he patiently invites Thomas to do all the things he said he would require before he would believe. Put your finger here, Thomas, and see my hands, and take your hand and put it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Whether Thomas actually followed through and put a finger where the nails had been, or placed his hand where the spear had pierced Jesus' side, John doesn't tell us. What we hear is that Thomas turned from disbelief to faith and confessed Jesus as his Lord and his God. As Jesus came to his fearful and doubting disciples on Easter evening and again a week later, with a word of peace to assure them of forgiveness and restore their hope and trust in him, and then also to Thomas, so that he too would believe, so he still comes to us today in his word and in the sacrament, so that we may know his forgiveness and so that we may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. Again today, Jesus has come to you in his word, in your ear, by my voice. His word has again come to you, bringing his gifts. Peace be with you. I forgive you all your sins. In a few minutes, he will give you his risen body to eat and his precious blood flowing down your throat with the forgiveness he won for you on his cross. Again today, Jesus is taking care of your sins. By his word and at the altar, removing them, blessing you, and strengthening you to trust in him and live as his own precious child in the coming week. Peace be with you. You are forgiven. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.